Job chapter 9, we're going to read one verse. And I want you to pay particular attention to the first phrase in that verse. Job chapter 9, verse 24. The earth is given into the hand of the wicked. He covereth the faces of the judges thereof. If not, where and who is he? The earth is given into the hand of the wicked. Now, as we look at the history of mankind, any of us who have just studied history casually can see that there is a trending or a cycle of movement toward wicked eras and then eras that are not so wicked. Back cycled up to a wicked era and then again an era that wickedness does not seem to be so rampant. We saw this, and if we take a look at history, we can see it happening again and again. And we see high times of great wickedness. And one of those that comes immediately to our mind is the wickedness that existed on earth for the 120 years that Noah preached and hammered. That was a wicked era beyond any that had happened before, and until this date, wicked beyond any that have happened since. And so we see a cycle like that in the earth concerning wickedness. And we can undoubtedly see here from Job's statement that he must have lived in a wicked era. And most Bible scholars place Job's life somewhere before the flood and not too far back before the flood. He was of the old patriarchs. And certainly, as you read this from him, inspired of God as he was, I believe you can come to the conclusion that Job was living in the age when he had seen that awful rise of the wickedness of the sort that God got fed up with in the 6th chapter of Genesis, pronounced his condemnation of, and following that, destroyed the earth by the flood. So this is, I believe, what Job is mentioning here. Now, it's a sad situation, and one that really, as I've already suggested, appears really bleak when upright men have to say that the earth is under the control of the wicked. That's what Job is saying. And I believe that is the refrain, the thing that we as the people of God must sadly say today. And I want to show you that in the first part of our message. And I'm just going to use some simple, what I call global illustrations of how that is so. And then we're going to look at why we as God's people don't need to be worried about it. And why we don't need to be looking away to it and get so upset, so stressed, and so distracted that we cannot continue to recognize who is in charge here. I want us to be conscious of the wickedness that prevails, but I want us to be ready to accept the fact that our great God is able to take care of it, because He is. So first of all, as we look at this verse of Scripture, I want us to think and consider the seriousness and the tragedy of Job's statement and what this means that he says here in our verse, the earth is given into the hand of the wicked. What Job is saying is the very thing I believe we can say today, that the forces of wickedness have hijacked the outcomes of human events on earth. Wicked men have hijacked what the humanity is moving toward, what humanity is drawn toward, if you will, driven toward, because there are wicked forces on the face of this planet today, brothers and sisters, that are controlling so much of the culture of mankind that they are literally setting the precedent for what people can or cannot do. Laws are being made today based on the wickedness of the control of the wicked. And we know it's so. We see things happening in our country and across the globe that make us to realize that there's no way that a law like that could possibly be passed except that the wicked have control of the earth. The earth is given into the hand of the wicked. Now, let's look at the forces of wickedness today. I think most of you that have even watched a little bit of news are going to identify with these highlights of global events that show us again and again and again that the earth is given today into the hand of the wicked. That today we are at one of those upper levels where wickedness is reigning in a fullness. First of all, in the first illustration, I ask you this question. Those of you that have been following the sad fate of Israel, ask this question. Why is the statehood and the right to exist for Israel even being questioned by so-called, what we call the global community today? Why is it being questioned? Why is their right to have determined boundaries for their country outlined? Why is it not right for them to have a right to exist? Why is it not right for them to determine what goes on in their country? Why is it not right that these things should be and should be allowed? Because the earth is given into the hand of the wicked. And right now, the so-called global community across this world have determined that Israel is the bad guy. Now, how can that be? It cannot be except that the earth is given into the hand of the wicked and the entire globe as a community, and I use that loosely, have decided to plague Israel, have decided that they don't have a right to declare the boundaries of the land that God gave them and declared in the Holy Writ. And the global community has decided that Iran is okay if it says we need to annihilate Israel. Can you imagine anything so insane as that the globe, this ball of dirt, the people upon it, the nations upon it, the governments on it, of the majority say, oh, it's okay, Iran, for you to say you want to annihilate Israel. Brethren, that's what they're saying today. How can it be? The earth is given into the hand of the wicked in this era that we live in. Here's another one. Why is it that Hamas and Iran, as I've already told you, can openly talk about annihilating Israel without one word of condemnation from the powers that be upon this continent and upon those continents over there, among governments of the world, not one word of condemnation, not even from the official spokesperson of the United States, not one word of condemnation of Iran and Hamas for saying, we're going to annihilate Israel. How can that be? Because the earth is given into the hand of the wicked. That is where we are today. Now, here's another one. Why is it, brothers and sisters, that homosexuals can openly flaunt their perversion in the U.S. military and in the marriage rooms of our land and can clap and shout and laugh and party at great marriage ceremonies between two people of the same sex across this land, and the news media applauds and says, great, freedom is released in America. Why can that be? How can that be? The earth is given into the hand of the wicked today, brothers and sisters. And we need to realize it and accept it. Go with me down this dark road. I'm going to give you something to shout and laugh yourself about as children of God, God willing, at the end of this. But I want us to get to the place to realize that we are in a terrible state in this world, and Jesus is coming, and it will be because of where we are going. It will be because these things are a reality. Here's another one. Why is it that women in America can go to the nearest abortion clinic and commit illegal murder today while the laws of the land sanction it and our taxes pay for it? Why is that? How can that be? The earth is given into the hand of the wicked. This has burdened my soul for years now, brothers and sisters. This is the first time God has given me the opportunity to speak out about this awful truth. And the awful truth was written centuries ago by faithful Job when he said the earth is given into the hand of the wicked. That's why we sanction the murder of our babies and taxpayers pay for it. Here's another one. Why is it that Christians can't have prayer reading, prayer holding, and Bible reading in American schools and in a lot of businesses and in any public place today, but Muslims can have prayer closets, prayer rooms provided for them by the government and by such places as this. And not one word is said about their religious practices, but Americans cannot practice their Christian religion in such public places. Why is that? And by the way, it's happening all over the globe. Why is it? Because the earth is given into the hand of the wicked this morning. And we're faced with it, whether we like it or whether we don't. Now, here's one that I want you to follow me with because it's a little complex. So you listen to what I'm saying, because this really is the big one, because it is kind of an umbrella over everything else I've mentioned. Why is it that a group of politicians can get together and without your approval, without your input, spend almost $1 trillion of your tax money to fund a bunch of special interests and a bunch of buddies that campaigned for them and contributed toward their election. And they can call that economic stimulus. Why can it happen? The earth is given into the hand of the wicked, and it has intruded itself into the highest positions of power and influence in the world. I have said to some of you, maybe from this pulpit, that businesses that are crooked are in the majority today. And that governments that are crooked, corrupt, and ruined are in the majority today. And I say it for a reason. The earth is given into the hand of the wicked. Here's my last one for the illustration. Why is it that a group of lying politicians, compromised scientists so-called, and greedy, conscienceless businessmen, how is it that they can conspire to fabricate a hoax about global warming in order to enslave mankind to a global power grab, but anybody that opposes them is accused of being a racist, a bigot, and a hater of humanity? Why can that be? Because the earth is given into the hand of the wicked in this awful century we live in. Now, having hijacked the outcomes of human events, literally by playing chess masters with the lives of human beings, these wicked men will make sure that they are the main beneficiaries of the events that are unfolding on the earth. Don't listen to wicked and ungodly men who say, we are doing this for the good of humanity. We're doing this because it is a good thing for the earth. All of this garbage, brothers and sisters, is nothing but lying deceit whereby they lay in wait to deceive and to lead you down a path of enslavement, because the earth is given into the hand of the wicked. And wicked men are waxing worse and worse, deceiving. And I like this part, and being deceived. I wonder if you've ever thought about who's deceiving them. So we see then that wickedness, wicked men have hijacked the behavior, the outcomes of human events in order to profit themselves. Let's look at that from what I just gave you as a list. I'm going to run a little late today, brothers and sisters. Bear with me. On this Israel issue about their rights, first of all, Hamas and Iran stand to gain great power and influence in the world of Islam by discrediting, or maybe hopefully, the way they put it, even destroying Israel. They have everything to gain. They'll become famous in the world of Islam for it. Approved of Allah for it. In their murderous scheme, they'll be blessed of Allah for destroying that nation. That's what we see about the works of wickedness in the world. On the issue of homosexual ascendancy in the world, what do you think about who's going to profit there? Now that the law has come to be the champion for the perversion of homosexuals, we are told that we have to keep silent about it. Shh. Don't say anything. If you do, you're a hate crime person. You've committed a hate crime. This perversion that now has become law will infiltrate our schools, our businesses, our family lives, and our churches. And the homosexuals of the land can now turn America into another Sodom, and the world into another Sodom, because they have the law on their side. And you'll have the law against you for saying anything about it. And you must accept it in your circle of society, because you're a hater if you don't. They have everything to gain as they drive the morality that's been laid down by the Lord to the wall, and as they force this culture that we live in to give them all the freedom that they need to defy the living God. What about this thing of spending tax money for stimulus packages? What about this, brothers and sisters? Let me tell you what I believe about it. Politicians, the bulk of whom are socialists and Marxists in America, and their socialist and Marxist billionaire friends and their cronies are going to realize huge profits from this Ponzi scheme that they've cooked up. Who do you think got the stimulus money, brothers and sisters? Did anybody out here that could have caused a growth in the economy of the average American citizen? Answer, no. Government unions that supported the Democrat Party got the money. Buddies and cronies who had green businesses got the money. But the money didn't go for a stimulus of the American economy. But I want to tell you something. Kickbacks are wonderful for the wicked into whose hand the earth is delivered. Kickbacks are wonderful for those who pay off their cronies for a piece of the pie and support. And that's what we see going on in politics, not just in America today, but across this world we see this going on. Now on this issue of the global scam about global warming, what about that? I think that we can say that socialists across the world would have a slush fund from which to spend indefinitely in launching a worldwide program to enforce Marxist rules and Marxist governments across the planet. They'd have all the money they needed to establish a global government, Marxist-oriented, in which they would dictate everything you do and say, and would lead you in the direction, godless direction, they wanted you to go, all in the name of the good for mankind. That's where this green movement is going, brothers and sisters. Let me just take just a few seconds to suggest something. I hope you'll pray about this. Everything green, reject. I don't care if it's a recycled bag at the grocery store. Reject it. Why do you say that, Brother Myers? Because I'm going to tell you something. Every bit of that stuff is linked some way or another into the global scam, the global conspiracy to form a one world government. And I don't have to tell you informed Baptists who's going to be the president of that global government. You know. Reject green. Don't buy a hybrid car. Don't buy a green car. Don't buy into grain. It is all a sham and a lie. Now, if you want to keep from cluttering and littering the highway right-of-way down through Tennessee, I recommend that. If that's what you're calling green, that's great. Be green in that. But when you start talking about investing in a green energy company, when you start talking about not any longer being able to use coal or gasoline or oil, deny the lie and refuse to go down the green Marxist road. That's my advice, for what it's worth. Now, we find that wickedness is going to prevail in positions of power, as I've already said. And it's going to grow in positions of power all around the earth as this thing snowballs. Brothers and sisters, the beggar and the billionaire alike will be consumed with the spirit of evil and will act out wickedness according as their capacity and abilities are. That's what's happening. That's what's going to grow. I want to give you two illustrations of this. The first one is the panhandler. There's your beggar type. You know, we saw some statistics on this panhandling thing, and what we have learned from those statistics and the study is that literally thousands of American people, so-called, are out there playing beggar and panhandling to the tune of hundreds of dollars a day from empathetic American citizens who are working for a living. And they brag about the fact that they don't have to work anymore because they can just go down and sit with their little cup or their box on the corner with their sign held up and look pitiful, and they'll make a day's wages right down there just sitting. That's one side of the coin, and we're familiar with it. Billions of dollars are spent to panhandlers, I am sure, that are just fine. They could be working. They are perfectly healthy. They may not even be homeless. They may have a Cadillac just over the hill down there. That is one of the greatest signs that even at the element of at the level of poverty, the wicked have been given the earth. The earth is in the hand of the wicked. Here's the other illustration on the other side of the line. The wicked programs that are being run by billionaires on the internet and on television are enormous. They're multitudinous today. People like George Soros have declared moral war against conservatism. This George Soros and so many wicked men like him have declared war, therefore, against the principles of God. I'm sure he hates righteousness and morality. He wants things to be totally liberal and given over to the liberality that exists among the liberal movement, in the liberal movement today. And he wants everything to be ordered after that manner. And so many programs that you run up on the internet and that you hear about on TV are owned by George Soros and those like him, and their aim is to destroy righteousness from off the earth. The earth is given into the hand of the wicked. Now, let's go now to my last point, and that is, we're here on this earth in a time when it has been given into the hand of the wicked, much the way Job saw it in his day. So, with that in mind, what can God give us that can help us not to despair about this awful situation and era that we live in? The key is held in Job's statement in one word. That key word is the word that he uses there when he says, given. When he says given, it has been given, the earth is given into the hand of the wicked. That is the key. And the reason it's the key is because the Lord owns the earth. We remember from Psalms 24 and verse 1 that David declared it in his song, "The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein." He owns it all, brothers and sisters. Let's keep it in mind. He owns it all. None of it belongs to the wicked in whose hand the earth currently resides. So we have to realize that God is the one that has given this power to the wicked. Now, how does that work? Just a real brief lesson. The scriptural proof text of this reality of how God does this is found in a statement by Satan himself in Luke chapter 4 and verse 6, where he's tempting Jesus on the mount. And as he's tempting him, the devil takes him to a high mountain and he shows him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And in verse 6, the devil said to Jesus, "All this power I will give thee, and the glory of them, for, listen, that is delivered unto me," and this part, "and to whomsoever I will, I give it." And there's your connection, brothers and sisters. So, but I want you to note this important element. Even Satan said, "For that is delivered unto me." Delivered unto me. To have something delivered, it's got to have an origin somewhere. I order something from somebody online, and a couple of days later, UPS shows up in my driveway and delivers the package. Is that originating in me? No. It came from the person or retailer that I bought it from. And that's exactly what happened with the devil. The devil has that power because it's been delivered to him by the great God of heaven. That makes it God's movement. And we always want to remember that. Because we can get so distracted off in the wrong direction that we begin to imagine, God, it seems like God's lost control of everything. I mean, we probably, being faithful, will never say that, but the temptation to imagine that gets strong. Well, it's not out of His control. He is in perfect control. And whatever is going on today has been delivered unto Satan, and to whomsoever he will, he giveth it. And that's why we can say with Job, the earth has been given into the hand of the wicked. The devil has handed it over to a myriad of wicked servants of his to do what they will as He tempts, guides, directs. Now, we can spend a lot of time pondering why God gives the earth into the hand of the wicked one and to Satan, and then only to have Satan give it into the hand of the wicked men. But if we ponder on it a lot, we may not come any closer to satisfying our mind than when we started. So we can think a lot about this and waste a lot of time doing it, or we can accept that it is a fact that's written in the Word of God that the Lord has allowed these things for His own reasons, and realizing and accepting that, we can rise up and go on. That's what we can do. Now, having said that, if we do that, then we're sure that the Lord has given the earth into the hand of the wicked one, who gives it into the hand of the wicked, and we can rest, therefore, about the outcome. We can rest about what's going to happen with all this, because God's going to take care of it. Now, how is that so? Listen to God. Isaiah chapter 46, verses 9 through 11. Remember, God reminds these Israelites, remember the former things of old, for I am God and there is none else. Brothers and sisters, leave here today realizing one thing. There may be gods many and lords many upon the face of this planet in the minds of men, but there's only one true God, and that's the one written of in this Bible, and the one that controls the events of the earth, although they may seem to unfold in a really strange and uncontrollable manner. This is our God. He is the only God, the one true God, and we have to keep remembering it, or we will lose sight of where we're going. And then He says, declaring the end from the beginning. That's what He does. Whatever the end is, God's got it matched out. He's got it typed out. He's got it described, defined, and set. And He's declared the beginning when He said, let there be light. And He's declared the end when He'll say to Jesus Christ, that's it. And so God controls the beginning, the end, and everything therein. He says in that same chapter, in Isaiah chapter 46 and verse 10, He says, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure. He doesn't say, my counsel shall stand, and if the devil or wicked men whose hand is into the earth, if they will cooperate, then I'll do all my pleasure. But He says, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure. And I'd just like to say this morning that it is never the pleasure of God to allow the wickedness of mankind to continue and glorify itself in the earth that He created. And the time is coming when there's a payday by this great God who owns everything, who controls everything. Now, let me just caution you that this doesn't mean that we're to rest and keep silent about the wickedness that's going on. I think that's one of the big failures that we as God's people are facing right now in America. That we kept silent when we should have been preaching from the rooftops. We kept silent when we should have been standing up for the righteousness of God. We kept silent when wicked men, by little and by little, gained a chokehold upon our nation. And now, wicked men have a chokehold upon the world. We kept silent. But it's not time to be silent anymore. We must speak out against this wickedness. You might wonder why this preacher is always bringing up something about current events in the world today. Well, that is the reason that I do it. Because we have to speak out. And it shouldn't be your preacher alone. You should be speaking as the Bible speaks. Speaking against wickedness where you find it. It doesn't matter if it's an emperor or a panhandler. Speak against the wickedness. Jesus said in Matthew 10, verse 27 and 28, what I tell you in darkness, that speak ye in light. And what you hear in the ear, that preach ye upon the housetops. That's what we're told to do. And that's what we must do. I'm always reminded when I think about our responsibility here that Noah preached to a world full of lost people for 120 years. We don't know that his children were saved when he started preaching, but let's assume that they weren't, and they were saved as he preached along. Well, then what that means is that perhaps only 6 people were saved as a result of 120 years of preaching. It could have been no people saved, because they could have been saved before God came with His message about destruction. And He preached for 120 years. A preacher of righteousness preached against the wickedness, against the fact that the earth was given into the hand of the wicked. And so we ought to conduct ourselves the same way. Now, let's close with this thought. While wicked men continue to profit and prosper from their godless management of the affairs of this awful and cursed earth, while they continue to make their millions and their billions and their name of fame and their glory, we, as God's people, properly aligned with the will of God, can ourselves and will ourselves profit in benefits of a spiritual nature even as we walk in this wicked world. This is what God tells us about that in Isaiah 48 and 17. Listen to Him. He says here, "Thus saith the Lord, thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, I am the Lord thy God, which teacheth thee to profit, which leadeth thee by the way that thou shouldest go." That's God's remark to us about how we're supposed to do in this present evil generation. We have every opportunity to profit that you might imagine. There can be profit for the people of God in the midst of this wicked and perverse generation. We can still grow and get rich in spiritual things. But our hearts have got to be set on God. And we can't be deterred by the wickedness, by the fact that we have to come to the realization that the earth is given into the hand of the wicked. And we've just been elected of God to be in an era when this is an absolute truth, an awful, ominous truth, but a truth nevertheless. And trusting in God, we go forward. And we realize that God has said, "You go forward and I'll make you prosper. I'll also show you the way. I'll lead you in the way that you should go." And if God doesn't lead us, brothers and sisters, we will go astray. And in this evil generation, there are so many avenues to go in that can lead us astray. God help us to not do it. God help us to look to the Lord, who owns everything, and be led in the straight path of righteousness and profit as we go.